Hi, this is David. You're probably familiar with musicians like Justin Bieber and YouTube stars like Mr. Beast, who have developed best-selling products. But it's not simply their music and videos that have made their products successful. An overlooked secret is actually the business behind their business, and that business is Shopify. Shopify's made selling online simple for millions of businesses worldwide. Their commerce platform will help you sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Now is the time to upgrade your business and get the same checkout that Justin Bieber uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/inspirational, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/inspirational to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/inspirational. Thank you. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from The Hidden Power by Thomas Troward, published in 1921. We often do not sufficiently recognize the truth of Walt Whitman's pithy saying, "I am not all contained between my hat and my boots." We forget the twofold nature of the I am, that is, both the manifested and the unmanifested, the universal and the individual. By losing sight of this truth, we surround ourselves with limitations. We see only part of the self, and then we are surprised that the part fails to do the work of the whole. Factors crop up that we did not reckon with, and we wonder where they came from, and do not understand that they necessarily arose from that great unity in which we are all included. It is the grand intelligence and livingness of the universal spirit continually pressing forward to manifest itself in a glorious humanity. This manifestation is effected by each individual's recognition of their power to cooperate with the supreme principle through an intelligent conception of its purpose and of the natural laws by which that purpose is accomplished. A recognition which can proceed only from the realization that you yourself are none other than the same universal principle being manifested. When we see this, we see that Walt Whitman's saying is true, and that our source of intelligence, power, and purpose is in that universal self, which is ours as well as another's, just because it is universal. And which is therefore as completely and entirely identified with ourselves as though there were no other expression of it in the world. The understanding which alone gives value to knowledge is the understanding that when we employ the formula, "I am, therefore I can, therefore I will," the I am with which the series starts is a being who, so to speak, has their head in heaven and their feet upon the earth, a perfect unity, and with a range of ideas far transcending the little ideas which are limited by the requirements of a day or an hour. On the other hand, the requirements of the day and the hour are real while they last. And since the manifested life can be lived only in the moment that now is, whether it be today or 10,000 years hence, our need is to harmonize a life of expression with a life of purpose, realizing in ourselves the source of the highest purposes, so as to realize also the life of the fullest expression. This is the meaning of prayer. Prayer is not a foolish seeking to change the mind of supreme wisdom, but an intelligent seeking to embody that wisdom in our thoughts, so as more and more perfectly to express it in expressing ourselves. Thus, as we gradually grow into the habit of finding this inspiring presence within ourselves, and of realizing its forward movement as the ultimate determining factor in all true healthful mental action, it will become second nature to us to have all our plans, down to the apparently most trivial, so floating upon the undercurrent of this universal intelligence, that a great harmony will come into our lives. Every discordant manifestation will disappear, and we shall find ourselves more and more controlling all things into the forms that we desire. How is that so? Is it because we have attained to commanding the Spirit and are making it obey us? Certainly not, for if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. It is because we are companions of the Spirit, and by a continuous and growing intimacy have changed not the mind of the Spirit, but our own, and have learned to think from a higher standpoint, where we see that the old world saying, "Know thyself," includes the knowledge of all that we mean when we speak of God. This may seem a very elementary proposition, but it is one of which we are too apt to lose sight. What does it mean? It means everything. But we are most concerned with what it means in regard to ourselves. And to each of us personally, it means this. It means that there are not two spirits, one which is embodied in you and one which is another. It means that there is not some great unknown power external to yourself, which may have perfectly different motives to your own, and which will, therefore, oppose you with its irresistible force and pass over you, leaving you crushed and broken. It means that there is only one mind, one motive, one power, not two opposing each other. And that your conscious mind in all its movements is only the one mind expressing itself as, and not merely through, your own particular individuality. There are not two I ams, but one I am. Whatever therefore I can conceive the great universal life principle to be, that I am. Let us try fully to realize what this means. Can you conceive the great originating and sustaining life principle of the whole universe as poor, weak, sordid, miserable, jealous, angry, anxious, uncertain, or in any other way limited? We know that this is impossible. Learn first to distinguish the true self that you are from the mental and physical processes which it throws forth as the instruments of its expression. And then learn that this self controls these instruments and not vice versa. As you advance in this knowledge, you will know yourself to be unlimited, and that in the miniature world, whose center we are, you yourself are the very same overflowing of joyous livingness that the great life spirit is in the great all of existence. The I Am is one. We must affirm this truth, realizing that to possess affirmative power is to possess the key to the great secret of life. We feel its presence in all the innumerable forms of life by which we are surrounded, and we feel it as the life in ourselves. Until at last, someday, the truth bursts upon us like a revelation that we can wield this power, this life, by the process of our thoughts. And as soon as we see this, the importance of regulating our thinking begins to dawn upon us. We ask ourselves what this thought process is, and we find that it is thinking affirmative force into forms, which are the product of our own thought. We mentally conceive the form and then think life into it. This must always be the nature of the creative process on whatever scale, whether on the grand scale of the universal cosmic mind or on the miniature scale of the individual mind. The difference is only in degree and not in kind. We may picture the mental machinery by which this is done in the way that best satisfies our intellect. And the satisfying of the intellect on this point is a potent factor in giving us that confidence in our mental power, without which we can affect nothing. But the actual externalization is the result of something more powerful than a merely intellectual apprehension. It is the result of that inner mental state, which, for want of a better word, we may call our emotional conception of ourselves. It is the self which we feel ourselves to be, which takes the forms of our own creating. For this reason, our thoughts must be so grounded upon knowledge that we shall feel the truth of it, and thus be able to produce in ourselves that mental attitude of feeling which corresponds to the condition which we desire to externalize and bring into reality. We cannot think into manifestation a different sort of life to that which we already realize and feel within ourselves. As Horace says, we cannot give what we have not got. On the other hand, we can never cease creating forms of some sort by our mental activity, thinking life into them. This point must be carefully noted. We cannot sit still producing nothing. The mental machinery will keep on turning out work of some sort, and it rests with us to determine of what sort it shall be. In our entire ignorance or imperfect realization of this, we create negative forms and think life into them. We create forms of death, sickness, sorrow, trouble, and limitation of all sorts, and then think life into these forms, with the result that, however non-existent they are in themselves, to us they become realities and throw their shadow across the path which would otherwise be bright with the beauty of innumerable blessings and the glory of the sunshine. This need not be. It is giving to the negative an affirmative force which does not belong to it. Consider what is meant by the negative. It is the absence of something. It is not being, and is the absence of all that constitutes being. Left to itself, it remains in its own nothingness, and it only assumes form and activity when we give these to it by our thought. Here, then, is the great reason for practicing control over our thought. It is the one and only instrument we have to work with. But remember that it is an instrument which works with the greatest certainty. For limitation, if we think limitation. For enlargement, if we think enlargement. Our thought as feeling is the magnet which draws to us those conditions which accurately correspond to itself. This is the meaning of the ancient saying that thoughts are things. Now, you might be saying to yourself, how can I think differently from my circumstances? Well, you are certainly not required to say that the circumstances at the present moment are what they are not. To say so would be untrue. What is wanted is not to think from the standpoint of circumstances at all, but to think from that interior standpoint where there are no circumstances, and from where you can dictate what circumstances will be, and then leave the circumstances to take care of themselves. Do not think of particular circumstances of health, peace, etc., but of health, peace, and prosperity in themselves. I once saw an article with the headline, "Think Money. Big Moneymakers Think Money." This is a perfectly sound statement of the power of thought, but we can take it further than thinking simply about money. We can think life in all its fullness. Think life, illumination, harmony, prosperity, happiness. Think these things rather than this or that condition of them. And then by the sure operation of the universal law, these things will form themselves into the shapes best suited to you, and will enter your life as active living forces, which will never depart from you, because you know them to be part and parcel of your own being, within the great I Am.